Grow Great is a city government leadership podcast with Lisa Norris and me, Randy Cantrell. Each week we share insights, experiences, and wisdom to help you and your leadership grow great. Our website is growgreat.com. Quick story, very early on in all of this coaching consulting stuff, business owner, walking with a business owner, we go into this customer pickup warehouse area. There's some peanuts on the floor. And he clears out about a 5-foot spot and he pitches a wall-eyed fit.
And these are packing peanuts, right?
These are packing peanuts. Yeah. Those little foam, white foam peanuts. Yeah. This is in a customer pickup area. Completely just tears up the manager of this place. And I'm just sitting here, you know, watching. And we get back to his office, and it was one of the first times that I made a remark to him. I've always had house dogs. And I asked him, I said, would you believe that I could take a physically and emotionally, a physically and psychologically healthy dog and completely housebreak a dog in 3 days without a rolled up newspaper or without rubbing the dog's nose in it? You think I could do that? And he said, yes. And I said, then what do you think I could do in 3 days with a human? And then I began to ask some questions about this encounter. In this encounter, the person stepped forward and kind of respectfully defended himself, not by defending the peanuts on the floor, but by asking his boss, you know, not to speak to him with such disrespect and in such an unkind way. I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but it was very
especially in front of people, right?
But it was very respectful.
Yeah.
And the person stepped forward and said to this employee, you don't understand. It's my job to catch people doing things wrong and to fix it. And so it became abundantly clear to me that was this person's focus. I'm calling it focus. Lisa, she thinks of it in terms of perspective. Whatever language you put to it, mm-hmm. put whatever language works for you. I'm calling it focus. So here was a business person who was focused on, I need to see problems. All day long, I'm looking for problems. I'm looking for stuff that's going wrong, things that are broken, things that I need to fix. Another focus was if I don't get out here and kick their butt, they won't do the work. That was another focus. Where my focus was just the opposite. Let's not judge it. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. My focus was most people, not all, but most people want to get up in the morning, go to work and do a good job.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my focus. That's my worldview. That's my perspective. Another one is I have a lot more fun looking for opportunities. The problems are going to present themselves. We can't ignore those. So we're not talking about a singular focus only on one thing, as in focus only on problems, focus only on opportunities. But I mostly I'm looking for opportunities. Guess what I see most of every day? Opportunities. I see opportunities everywhere. Because
but you're an optimist.
Well, there is right. that.
That plays a huge part in it, in the way people perceive things. And I, like you, I choose to and do see things as opportunities. Even in my worst days, I know there is growth coming. I know there is a positive outcome. I just got to get through this to see that.
Does it blind you to problems?
No, it doesn't blind you to problems. In fact, opportunities is how to solve the problem.
It doesn't blind me to them either, but I have found that people who focus on the problems are blinded to the opportunities. They can't see opportunities. I have not found anybody yet. If you know somebody, I'd love to hear from you. I haven't yet found anybody who's focused on opportunities who doesn't see problems and doesn't see them easily. Because here's what the other thing that they know in focusing on the opportunities. Guess where the opportunities mostly are? They're in the problems.
That's right.
The problems themselves present opportunities But those people who are constantly looking for things that are wrong to fix, especially the proud people, the people that I want to be the fixer, can't see those. The real thing that got this whole thing rolling for me is so many recent conversations. All of my conversations really have one thing at the heart of them, and that is high performance. Either for an individual or for an individual who's a leader to get their team or their organization or their company or their city to be high performing. It's all about high performance, period. And in doing that, all of the conversation about low performance and low performers and the things that are dragging down, the things that are preventing, getting in the way of high performance. And so I find myself constantly having these conversations with leaders about the thing that they're focused on, because the thing that we're focused on is, in my opinion, based on my experience, is the thing that we see the most of. So I can ask anybody in the audience, just answer it to yourself because we're not going to hear you. Your boss, your leader, are they focused mostly on problems or are they focused on opportunities? And you're going to answer one or the other. And I'm going to ask this rhetorical question now: how many of the opposite are they blind to? So if they do see opportunities, are they blind to the problems?
No.
I doubt any of you are going to answer yes, they're blind to they don't see the problems. They see the problems. The problems.
They see opportunities in the problems themselves.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Now, the people that see, if your boss sees problems, I can also ask, because I've done this a lot, how many opportunities do you think exist that don't ever come up? And most everybody will, the lowest that anybody has ever answered that in the years that I've been asking that question is 1-to-1. So if they bring up a problem, for every problem they bring up, there's an opportunity that they don't talk about, that never gets any attention, that never gets any focus. But that's the lowest I've ever gotten. I have gotten people who have said 10 times. I've gotten anything from 5 to 10, I would say, in my experience, is way more common. Oh, I would guess probably 5 to 10 more opportunities than problems. And so you're sitting here thinking, okay, so as a leader, I'm focusing on this. It's that movie with Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense, right? It's that little boy. Everywhere he looks, he sees dead people. Because mm-hmm. that's what he does. He sees dead people. So as leaders, I guess my question is, what are you focusing on? Are you focused on, and I don't mean focus in the sense of, well, I'm distracted and I'm having trouble focusing. Not that kind of focus. Talking about the focus of the outcome, focus on the opportunity, focus on the problem. Focused on the things that need to be fixed, focused on the things that we're doing well. And I know the logic because I've had these conversations for who knows how long. Well, you know, but these deserve some attention. So that thing that's going well, come on, it's the classic case. The first time I read it was Donald O. Clifton, he the father of Strength Finders. Donald O. Clifton wrote a book called Soar With Your Strengths long before Strengths Finders came about. Mm-hmm. And in the book, he appropriately talked about the parent whose child comes in with a report card, and the report card's got all these good grades, but it's got this one bad grade. Mm-hmm. And what does the parent do? Thumbs up. If you're watching the video, I can't get our video. Every time I make hand gestures, I get stupid stuff.
It pops stuff up.
Yeah, if I can move my arms enough, I can get balloons to go, which is really cool. At any rate, in the book, Donald O. Clifton talks about this, and he's right. And as parents, we get it. The parent, what does the parent do? The parent doesn't go to all these A's. The parent goes to, what's with this D? Yeah. You know, and we focus on the D. There could be all kinds of reasons. Maybe the kid's just not predisposed to whatever that class is, but we ignore the A's. I know the reason we do this. We don't focus on that because, well, it's good. It doesn't need any attention. Here's as leaders where I think we get it wrong. This is the mistake I think we make, is because we don't focus on that. We don't give it the attention. Then the troops, we basically train our people. This is how we roll. This is our culture. This is the way we're going to roll. And we don't get more of the very thing that we claim we most want, high performance. We don't get more high performance because we're not focused on high performance. We're focused on low performance. We're focused on, well, you know, Sally's not doing a great job. And so Sally gets all my attention. Meanwhile, I got six other people over here that are rock stars. They don't get any attention because they're good. They're good. They don't need me. Well, tap the brakes on that thought. They do need you. I mean, what if I got five other people over here that are doing really good work and I can help them with a 5% improvement, I am moving the needle. Sally may not even end up being, as Jim Collins says, she may not even end up on the bus at the end of the day. But I'm pouring all my attention and all my focus on her. So that's what I mean by this conversation. So what are your thoughts?
Well, when you look at that and you talk about focus, specifically, my thoughts are around the comment you made when they are focusing on the problem. In my experience, I've also found that focus on the problem also is an indicator of perspective on how they handle the approach and the delivery. It can become more, typically what I found in my 27 years in the HR side, is the, it almost goes with, here's the problem. Like he did, it was condemning, it's judgment. The delivery of the problem itself is not the problem. It's here's what I believe to be true. You have failed.
Yeah, it's a critical viewpoint.
And I have found that viewpoint and that delivery, that I can't even think of in a time it didn't go together. I mean, that's how.
Yeah, right.
That is how close these are together. The judgment that is placed, the condemnation, you know, there are those things that I see go with that delivery, and it can be easily demotivating.
Yeah, so if you were as good as I am
on the problem.
Yeah, if you were as good as I am, if you knew what I knew, if you were as talented as I am, you wouldn't have done this dumb thing.
That's right.
It's that kind of a tone.
It becomes condemning and demotivating because your focus is so intensely on the problem you identified or somebody identified to you that curiosity is lost, knowledge is lost, understanding is lost. And like you said, opportunities, it becomes a, I don't know why you did this and you need to fix this problem. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea if that problem happened just that one instance and you walked in when they had just packed the box and the crew had got called on something else and hasn't had a chance. You have no idea because you're not focused on, hey, like you said, hey, is this what our customer wants to see? And they can say, no, you know what? I'm on it. We just haven't had a chance. They had to go to the back because of blah, blah, blah. Another shipment's coming in. But we'll get it cleaned up by the end of the day.
When I first told Lisa the story, I told her my focus would have been, I would have gone back to this person and I would have said, I would have pointed to him and I said, you know, I mean, is this, do we want our shoppers? Do we want our customers? Is this what we want to see? I mean, is this the level of pride that we want to demonstrate to our customers? I can promise you this employee would have said no. And I would have said, well, let's clean this up and let's stay on top of this. End of story.
Yeah, over, no judgment.
Overdone. But the focus would have been, for me, the focus would have been on the appearance to the shopper. The focus would have been on the pride. This, to me, an indicator, come on, it's just like a clean house.
Yeah.
It's indicative of the pride that you have. Okay, we're not talking about people that have some hoarding.
That's
compulsion.
Right. I mean, there's exceptions to every rule, right?
But,
this is a general approach,
yes,
a general focus.
But, you know, show me somebody's house that is in complete disarray all the time. I'm not talking about a one-off. And I'll probably show you somebody that, you know, they don't care that much. If they did, it would be different.
That's right.
And so I would use that. That would be kind of my focus. I'm just going to ask you as a leader to be reflective of what are you mostly paying attention to. Now, I would love to tell you that I'm so spectacularly great and wise and sage in my life that I've always had this right. I have not.
No.
I've not always had this right. I think what I did have right as a young leader is, and I've said this before on other episodes, I'm a type, I want to go take the hill. And after we've taken the hill, I'm looking for the next hill.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the next opportunity. It so happens that I'm smart enough to know that the opportunities are always in the problems. They're always in the problems. So I'm this constant improvement junkie. I look at a podcast. I look at writing. I look at coaching. I look at business ventures. I look at everything with how can we make this better?
That's exactly right.
That's the game for me. I had to worry early on as a leader for that not to be perceived as being critical.
That's right.
As it not being good enough. For me, in my head, it's not about not being good enough. It's just about, it ain't as good as it could be, which I know can be, and in my personal life, absolutely. In my personal life, absolutely did not translate well, right? I mean, dad being harsh and being critical didn't translate well. I had to learn. Thankfully I did. I've softened over time. I have learned this, but for me, it's coming from a perspective of supreme optimism, supreme belief in people, including my kids, that you can do better. It's this expectation. And I'm surrounded by ninnies who somehow think that the path forward in life is lower your expectation. I just refuse to do it. I get that advice almost constantly every day. Well, you just expect too much. How can you coach higher human performance and not expect more? I just don't know how to even do the job, right? I don't even know how to be of service to people if I'm going to look at you and go, well, you know, Lisa, this is fine. This is fine. Hey, you know, you're 55. This is as good as it gets, Lisa. You know, I just can't do that. It's just not in me to do that. I'm not the best that I could be. She's not. I just don't think very many of us are. I have run across a few people that I'm like, okay, that pretty much looks to me like they're pretty much tapped out. I mean, they're, you know, I've got such strong belief in people and such strong belief in opportunities that can be seized and taken advantage of. And I just know this in my life and in everybody's life that I've watched and I've been close enough to, what we see, what we focus on, and what we're looking for, mostly we find.
That's right. I agree with you. You know, I would turn this, as we're talking about focus, and we've talked about approach now, and we've talked about perspective, all at kind of up to this point. It's the impact of the team. I have found in my career, I get much more engagement, much more buy-in if the approach is in a problem, in a failure, right? We've all had failures in our career, either collectively as a team or individually as a human, in some decision, in some path we took that did not go well. And I have found that condemnation and saying, you have really royally screwed up here and this needs to be fixed is highly ineffective because you have now demoralized them and diminished them. And instead have taken the approach, like I would call the team in and these are examples. And I'd go, okay, well, that didn't go well, did it? And they start laughing and they're like, no, and some of them even cry, you know, it's not a funny time, but I'm like, that didn't go well. And they're like, I'm so sorry. I let you down. I've made a mistake. And I'm like, okay, I appreciate that. Now, what do we need to do as a team to make this better? What caused that? And we start brainstorming on the board. I had a whiteboard in my office. And it taught them it is not about the failure. It is about getting up after the failure and looking for the opportunity so that this is limited in its ability to happen again. Will it happen again? Could, in a different way, could with a different problem. but I've taught them through the process. It is not the threat. It's the opportunity through the threat. So let's identify that, because the threat has, and the failure has happened. It's getting up. If you fall seven times, be sure you get up eight. And that we don't fall and trip on the same pothole over and over and over. That I always told them, that's my issue. If you keep stepping in the same pothole, that is on you. You haven't solved for the pothole. So let's solve for the pothole of the problem. But I have found it does no good to diminish and demoralize somebody on the problem and place judgment. We've all seen it. We've seen leaders over and over that will focus on every, I need to write them up because this is the second time they've done it. And I said, well, what if the approach is to talk them through it and how to make it better and see if they shine? That the problem with that is time. And when you're in a fast-paced environment, it's getting them to see the investment of time in this case is worth the potential outcome. And honestly, I have seen, you talk about high-performing teams, I have seen no better way to get to a high-performing team than to have them solve for the issue at hand in a positive, optimistic manner and to lead them through it well, that it's an opportunity to solve for something.
Thanks for watching and listening to Grow Great, a city government leadership podcast. For Lisa Norris, I'm Randy Cantrell. Be well, do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com.